worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then looking in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Verses 1 through 10, Proverbs chapter 3. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and powerful gift of your word. Thank you for the wisdom that we draw from your word as we read and meditate on it. Thank you for the ways that you equip us, you empower us, you nourish us, you build us up, and you mold and shape us more and more by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit working in us and through us daily. With every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that, amongst other things, your word is a book of faith, a book that teaches us that the just shall live by faith. Help us with every passing day to become more skillful in walking out that wisdom. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we love you today. We praise you. We lift high your name. We look forward today, Father, to this program that you've put together here. We pray that we will hear and that Joseph will say the things that you would want him to say and his co-host too, and that listeners would listen with your ears and respond in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to let you know about an upcoming campaign that we have here at the American Family Association. The American Family Association invites you to join millions of Americans in a day of prayer and appreciation for law enforcement on Sunday, June the 13th. This is our opportunity. Now, you know, Pete and the gang, they're excited about this upcoming event, so we're glad to hear their excitement and joy. This is our opportunity to show respect and appreciation toward those who bravely serve and protect our families. Too many times they are taken for granted, and we want to help let them know that we believe in the importance of their work and the critical place of their work as well. Here are some ways that we can show support for those who serve. We can pray and we can urge our pastors and churches to designate a special time during services on Sunday mornings to pray for law enforcement officers in our communities, and we can gather with our friends to pray as well. Also, the next time you see police officers in a restaurant, pay for their lunch or dinner. Prepare a few personal handwritten notes of encouragement for officers in your community. Also, we can recognize them as well. Post notes of appreciation on social media for law enforcement. And also, we encourage you to visit AFA.net for helpful resources. And please add your name to thousands of others that are committed to praying for our law enforcement officers on Sunday, June the 13th. Hope that you will do that. We continue to remind you, my email is jparker@afa.net. And if we can share with you some of the prayer resources and discipleship resources that we do give out on this broadcast, we're glad to send them to you. It's our hope that you will use them for yourself use them in the discipleship of your family, and that you will also forward them and share them with others. Email them to family, friends, loved ones, co-workers, church fellow church members, anyone the Lord puts on your heart to share them with, because everyone can use strength and encouragement in their prayer life and strength and encouragement in their walk of discipleship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm blessed to have today as my co-host today, Victory Hollowfield. Once again, good to have you, Victory.
Good to be here. Thanks for allowing me to join this morning. I appreciate it.
A privilege to have her. And she didn't know till just before the broadcast she was going to be on with us today.
She did. But be ye ready, y'all, in seasoning
right.
out.
That's right. But thank you, Victory, for joining us
thank
today.
You.
It's always a privilege to have you here on the broadcast. Today we're looking at the topic, the just shall live by faith. And you know, Victor, I think of this. This is actually a critically important topic for believers to grasp because, you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it lets us know without faith, it's impossible to please mm-hmm. God. And also God's word tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see victory without faith.
Come on.
It's important for us to put our faith to work, not just from time to time, but as a lifestyle.
Yeah, every day, every day. I also, you better quote them verses, Pastor Parker. I also like the verse 2 Timothy 2:13, which actually resonated with me yesterday, where the Word of God says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. How many times have we been faithless? I don't know about you, Pastor Parker. I feel like you're perfect, but I have.
I
have
had moments.
But I have like had those moments where I was not trusting in the Lord, but He was still faithful because that's who He is. That's a part of His character.
And you know, I think it's good for us to recognize this too, that, you know, on the one hand, we you know, sometimes we may sort of make light of it, but it's important to understand that, like, when we learn how to put faith to work as a lifestyle, God can use us more mightily and more people can be blessed as we're simply available vessels.
Amen.
And, you know, the reality is when I neglect to carry out my calling and to do the things I'm supposed to do, not only do I miss blessings, but people around me miss out on blessings because I fail to be God's vessel in the moment.
I'm going to tell you one thing I've started doing recently. When I'm in the car, I strive to talk to the Lord throughout the day. And life happens, distractions occur. But mm-hmm. one thing, just the other day, I was talking to the Lord. I was in the car and I said to Him, I said, Father, help me not to be a mediocre Christian. Mm-hmm. And I went on and said, I don't want to be that believer that just thinks of things and things happen in their life and I don't pray about it. I don't take it to the Lord. I don't go into my closet, as scripture says in Matthew 6:6. Help me to be a proactive follower, child of God. And so, and right then, I'm trying to do better as soon as things happen, like praying about it then. And I know, you know, you're working and things of that nature. Make you a note so that you can pray about something, because prayer is another way of activating our faith. And it also grows my walk with the Lord. The more I'm talking to Him and communing with Him, because faith, a part of that is the closer we get to the Lord, mm-hmm. our faith in Him grows. The mm-hmm. more you, because it's like trust. I trust my husband more and more through the years because we're getting to know each other. When right. we go through things together, see, God wants to go through with you, right? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He'll be with us. So include Him in your life so your faith can grow.
Right. And you know, Victory, it's important for us to understand too, the best possible life we can live is where we stay in close communion with the Lord and we trust Him moment by moment, day by day.
Yeah.
It's not we're unwise to think of it as a burden. Mm. It's a privilege, because the fact is God is exploding with blessing all the time.
Yeah.
And as we tap into them and walk with Him, that blessing gets on us and flows through us too.
Yes, sir.
And that, amongst other things, that blessing is called the Holy Spirit. It's called the Kingdom of God. And as we're available vessels, God can bless the world tremendously. The Bible speaks of us as being good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Come on,
we're
Pastor
stewards
Parker.
Of grace.
Yes, sir.
And the fact is, I want to pour gallons and gallons of grace into the world every day. Not just a teaspoon or two, but gallons and gallons. But it comes through obedience and trusting God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So today, one of the scriptures we're looking at additionally is Acts chapter 16.
Ooh, all right.
And as we look at this chapter, now keep in mind, you know, our best role model in all of the Word of God is, of course, obviously Jesus. And Jesus is and was perfect. And and we're never to write that off to say, well, I could never be like Jesus. We're to be striving because he helps us to become more and more like him. Mm-hmm. But also another good role model, not perfect, but a great role model is the Apostle Paul.
As
we look at this story in chapter 16, it's a powerful story. But at the same time, many important lessons about trusting God and following God and being used by God is found here. So we pick up Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, and his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who was there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Verses 1 through 15. Now we're going to read further later in the broadcast, but here we find again, Paul starts out, he's wanting to include Timothy in his ministry, and of course he brings Timothy along. And then he, along with other disciples, are seeking God, and God specifically tells them, don't go to preach the word in Asia. In other words, don't go there yet. And you know, Victor, it's important for us to know the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us every day.
Yeah.
But it's important for us to understand our job is just to say, yes, Lord, to follow him, because remember, what God does isn't just nice for today. It's eternal in its results. Mm-hmm. Everything God does is eternal. So our obedience allows us to plug into the eternal purposes of God.
Right.
So when we listen to the Holy Spirit and obey, we're doing something very, very significant, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. Paul was, he legit lived out that his knowing that his goal was, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me.
That's right.
Another verse in Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes, and I believe it's verse 10, where he says, if I was a pleaser of man, I would not be a bondservant to Christ. Mm-hmm. So when we develop that mindset as a follower of Jesus, of literally, no, it's no longer living for me, but for him, which is something we all struggle with because we live in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Life happens. And if you're married and got kids and just whatever, grandkids, whatever, you know, those distractions occur. But when your first priority is to please him, you're going to be about that business.
That's right. That's right.
Come
we're
going
to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And again, my co-host today is Victory Holofield. We'll be right back. music of Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And of course, this is an important message from Genesis to Revelation. God calls his people to live by faith. And my co-host today is Victor Holofield as we're looking at this topic then. Again, Victor, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm loving this.
Praise the Lord. And so I think of this as we're looking at this story in Acts chapter 16, a powerful story and a very insightful story in Scripture, that a true account of Paul on his journey, his missionary journeys. And of course, he's in the process of obeying and just simply following God. And the Holy Spirit, as they're seeking to do what the Lord would have them to do, forbids them go to Asia at this point in time. Now, it's important for us to understand we're guided as believers primarily by the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
The Holy Ghost!
Every day.
Don't get me started. I love talking about the Holy Ghost.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm sorry, because he's awesome. A huge part of the life of a believer.
Yeah.
And he always, his influence should be increasing literally every day as well.
Yes, Pastor Parker. I'm sorry, I get excited about the Holy Ghost.
Go ahead.
I kid you not, anytime I call on him, He leads me, the Holy Ghost. Because you got to keep in mind now, he is God's Spirit. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going, but I'm coming back. But while I go, I'm going to send you a comforter who will lead you in all truth. You can ask my husband. Every single time I lose something, this is just one example. Mm-hmm. I may have shared it. Kid you not, Pastor Parker, it kind of freaks me out. I know you're probably going to say, Jay, don't, Victory, don't say that. Every time.
Go ahead.
He leads me to whatever I'm looking at. Every time my husband be like, babe, where's that? I was like, did you ask the Holy Ghost? No. Mm-hmm. I'll ask the Holy Ghost within less than a minute is every time. And not just that, just in life in general, Holy Spirit, lead me. And I know, okay, I know some people are like, okay, you know, emotionalism, things of that nature, but God gave us feelings. And I believe that the more we grow in his word, you know, because like the scripture says, the just shall live by faith.
Right.
The more word we put in ourselves, the bigger our faith grows. And we are more in tune with the Holy Spirit, the more that we lean upon the Lord and grow in his word. And I'm 2 Corinthians 3, you know, we move from glory to glory in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
But I love hearing about the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, I get excited.
No, don't apologize.
Because he is our helper.
Don't apologize.
People don't use him enough, Pastor Parker. So that's why I'm like, people just don't use him enough.
You know, just like you mentioned, practical, just getting practical direction for things that you're dealing with in life. But also a big part of it, and it relates to the passage we're looking at, is for the purpose of getting God's work done, the ministry.
On.
Well, see, here Paul was ready to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit, don't go there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the Holy Spirit's always right. He's always perfectly in the will of God because the Holy Spirit is God, and he's directing us to get his work done. And what's important every day is, what does God want?
What does he want?
Not so much what I want or what my friends want.
What makes me feel
what
comfortable.
What does God want?
Yeah.
And running after, having a passion to say, Lord, I just want what you want.
Yes.
To live that way.
And maybe you're listening, you're like, how do I know if he's leading me? You know that time when you were at the grocery store and the Lord told you to share Jesus with that cashier? The devil wouldn't tell you to do that. That was the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's one of those things where you the enemy, Satan's not going to tell you to go bless this person with their meal. He's not going to tell you to do that because he don't want you to bless people.
That's
how you start developing, being led by the Holy Spirit. You got to get out on that boat. Yes, are you going to make some mistakes? It's going to happen because we're human. But in the midst of that, the more you take practice, okay, Lord, help me to, I want to grow and being led by your Spirit. Just go for it. What's the worst you can do when you become a blessing to someone? What's the worst you can do when you do something that is righteous and holy and glorifies God? And if you miss, you see what I'm saying? What's the worst? Okay, you bless somebody. Come on. You better activate that. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost.
And of course, it's good to know, too, that like, again, then all the names of the Holy Spirit help us much better grasp his mission and his ministry in and through our lives.
Right.
And he has many names. He's the Comforter.
Come on.
Well, why do we need comfort? Because this world hurts
a
lot of times.
Do.
It's painful sometimes. But no one can comfort and encourage us like the Holy Spirit.
He's
also the helper. He
Come
helps
on,
us. What does he help us do? He helps us to do the work in the will of God.
Yes, Lord.
He doesn't help us do everything. He's not going to help us do wrong. He's going to help us to do the work in the will of the Lord, too. But also, he's our counselor, but also he's the hand of God. Mm. God does everything by his hand. Mm-hmm. And so those are just a few. There are a bunch of other names for the Holy Spirit as well. So it's good for us to learn those names and grow in them. I think of this, too. Some of the other ways whereby we put our faith to work, and of course, it's the Holy Spirit that guides and helps us to put our faith to work. And remember, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. No way to please him without putting that faith to work.
Come on, Pastor Parker.
Well, here's some things that we can do to help put our faith to work deliberately. Number one, our prayer life. As we pray, that's one of the ways whereby we put our faith activated in our lives mm-hmm. when we pray. Also, the words we speak. The Bible lets us know that, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When we speak the words of God, we're obviously speaking words of faith as well. But also other words that we speak that may not be scripture per se, we should try to talk always in line with the word of God as well. Mm-hmm. The words we speak are ways we put our faith to work as well. Also, our attitude. If we have a good attitude toward the things of God and the will of God, that's important. On the other hand, when a person just has the attitude, oh, do I have to pray? Do I got to go to church today? You know, that's a poor attitude, and it can hinder our faith tremendously with a poor attitude.
I'm going to throw this out here. You may disagree with me, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. I will question if they saved.
Well,
I know you're going to disagree, but I'm saying because when you are converted to Christ, come on, you cannot, you have a desire for him that he gives you. I truly believe, like, it will make me question. Granted, if you're like that all the time, like nonstop, but you say that I'm a believer. Now, if you have moments, because, we go through life, that's different.
We're emotional creatures. And we're always dealing with the flesh.
But if you like are always like, I don't want to pray, but I go to church, I'm a Christian, you're not a believer. I'm just, like, you're not.
They should question their faith, definitely.
You should. You should. And motivate that to take it to the Lord. Lord, am I one of your children? Because I don't get an excitement. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. One of the ways that you'll know if you're a follower of Christ is if you're striving to please him, even in the midst of the trials.
That's right.
Even in the midst of when you sin. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry.
Don't apologize, Victory, again. We're here serving Jesus and following him.
I'm trying to slow down. My husband be like, babe, you're talking so bad.
But no, you're exactly right. We should have the desire to please the Lord all the time. Yeah. Now, again, we have to battle the flesh. And now, that's never to be an excuse.
Right.
Though, there's never an excuse to sin.
Right.
But the fact is, the Bible lets us know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to always be working on putting the flesh down and allowing the spirit to rise to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But so, again, we put our faith to work deliberately through our prayers. We put our faith to work through the words we speak. We put our faith to work also through our attitude as we live. Also, we put our faith to work through the habits we form, the habit of reading the word every day. The habit of praying every day,
the habit
of speaking words of faith, the habit of witnessing, the habit of praising and rejoicing in the Lord. These are all spiritual habits that allow us to put our faith to work, but also they stir up the Holy Spirit inside of us as well.
Can I add this, Pastor Parker?
Yes, go right ahead.
Open your mouth when you read the word of God. Don't just read it in your head. So Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. The original text, the original Greek says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So and in the Old Testament, back when the Hebrew people they would read it out loud because they had to memorize the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, when I think about growing up when I was in school, my mom used to tell me, read out loud, because not only are you seeing it, you're hearing it as well, and you'll comprehend it. It literally works. So read the word of God out loud, because it says faith comes by hearing the word of God. So open your mouth when you're reading the word. And I'm going to tell you, it does something to my flesh, because this flesh gets in the way. This flesh of, like, I'm tired, I'm depressed, I'm not feeling like it. I kid you not. Times when I make myself open my mouth and read the word out loud, it just does something to me. It's the Holy Ghost. I know that's what it is. Mm-hmm. He's stirring up within me. That's what the scripture says. Stir up the gifts. And one great way of doing that is opening your mouth. Stand up sometimes. Stand up and read the word. Put you on a praise song and read the word. I'm trying to help you fight this flesh. That's my purpose here. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you got to do to get out of your mind that this is boring. Okay, I'm going to read my word. No, this is God's word. This is the word of God, the sword. I was reading Revelation conversation last night, and it was talking about how when Jesus is on that horse, and how one of them angels opened up one of them seals. I can't remember which one. I never read all of Revelation, but I was reading some of it. Mm-hmm. And it said that when Jesus opened his mouth, it was like a sword coming out. And mm-hmm. you know, the scripture says that the word of God is a sword. It's a sword of the spirit.
That's right. That's
sharper, right. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So open your mouth, read it out loud, put your praise music on. There's excitement. God's word is alive. It mm-hmm. really is.
That's right. That's right. So again, expression, some of the ways we deliberately put our faith to work again is, as I said, through our prayer life, through the words we speak, through the attitude that we walk with mm-hmm. on the daily basis. We express our faith through our habits as well, our habits of reading the word, our habits of witnessing, our habits of praising the Lord. Also, our overall lifestyle, we express our faith that way, but also through the sacrifices that we make as well.
My Lord.
We live in a world
that's a real one.
That strives for comfort and convenience.
Mm.
However, the Christian life is to be characterized by a life of sacrifice. We don't follow Jesus conveniently. We're to follow him sacrificially.
Pastor
and
Parker.
Our best role model is Jesus.
Pastor Parker.
Jesus gave his all, and he demonstrates it. That's what he calls us to do
as
well.
You know what you just did? You
What's
just
that?
Crushed the whole self-love. Love yourself. Mm-hmm. Have a self-care day. You just crushed that right there. That ain't, I said it, ain't. I know this is radio, we're supposed to speak correct. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. now, I'm not saying that you should take time to, you know, rejuvenate yourself, I guess, or take, you know, rest. You know, right. God rested.
Jesus had his disciples go apart yeah. for retreat time. Yeah.
Right. But you just crushed that whole self-care, whatever you want to call that mess that's going on today, which I cannot stand it. That is so self-centered. And like you said, as a follower of Christ, that's not a part of our makeup. Now, you actually stepped on my toes when you said that. You know, we love convenience. We do, you know.
In our humanness, we do.
We do. My husband is an only child, so there are times I be telling him, I was like, yeah, that's the only child syndrome when he wants his way. But I grew up with two other siblings, but the Lord reveals to me, even when I say that, he shows me areas in my own life that is selfish. And so we have to bring that to the Lord. Ask the Lord, help me to be more selfless
right.
for your glory.
You know, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Mm.
So again, a part of the name of the game for the Christian faith is sacrifice. Live in such a way that we don't just give when it's convenient. We give sacrificially because, again, Jesus gave his all.
Yes.
His all for us. Father, anoint us afresh with the wisdom and grace to live sacrificial lives, sacrificially following you every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're looking at the topic, The Just Shall Live by Faith. My co-host today is Victory Holofield. We'll be right back.
The grave. He is David's root and the lamb who died.
Music of Andrew Peterson, Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My co-host today is Victory Holofield, and we're looking at the topic, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And we're going to pick up continuing reading in Acts chapter 16, picking up once again at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of midnight and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Verses 1 through 34, Acts chapter 16. Now, Victory, again, this is what you might say, just sort of a little snapshot of the life of Paul. Paul didn't live a boring life. But now the reality is, too, Paul lived a tough life. Yeah. You know, nowadays people look at him as a great apostle, and which he was. But Paul went through a lot of hardship.
Yeah.
And he could have easily been discouraged if he allowed himself to become. But one thing that characterizes the life of Paul is that Paul was a man full of joy.
Mm.
The book of Philippians was written And it's often, sometimes it's referred to as the joy letter, one of Paul, probably Paul's most joyful letter. Yet Paul wrote that in prison. Well, so one of the issues here is a powerful spiritual weapon that believers need to learn to use is that of rejoicing in God, keeping your focus on God, mm-hmm. and never allowing your attitude to become discouraged.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's there to help us, but the key is you praise and thank God no matter what's going on, and you obey Him.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, his life characterized that. He followed God. Now, he followed God and went to Macedonia and met Lydia and others who were there for prayer, and a number of them got saved.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing.
Yeah.
But then he cast the demon out of a girl, and instead of the whole city rejoicing and thanking and praising God, some of those men realized we can't make money off the demons that used to help us to make money.
Mm.
And so they got angry at him. And now remember, they didn't get angry at him till he cast the demon out of the girl. Paul did what Jesus wanted him to, but you had people in the world who didn't like it at all. And they persecuted him, had him beaten, clothes torn off, beaten up, thrown in jail. Now, many people in the world would think, well, Paul probably is in prison, upset, angry, mad, thinking, Lord, I'm serving you, and this is what happens, you know.
Right.
But that's not Paul's attitude. He's in prison. He and his companion are in there praying and singing praises to God.
Lord, help us.
Praying and singing
us.
Praises to God.
Yeah.
What does God do? Well, remember this. The Bible lets us know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. They're worshiping, rejoicing, praising God. God sends an earthquake.
Come on.
Shakes that place. And when it's all said and done, the jailer and his whole family are saved.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil's perspective is, I can't do nothing with Paul.
Come on.
I can have him beaten up, thrown in jail, and he keeps right on serving Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we're all called to do. No matter what's going on, rejoice in God, thank Him, keep being obedient, and God will use us wherever we go.
And I wanted to add, man, Pastor Parker, that was powerful. I was speaking to a sister in the Lord, and she is a sister in the Lord, and she was trying to tell me that the book of Acts, that the things that occurred there with the Holy Spirit, that was then, that God does not work like that now. I called her a lie. Now, I still love her. She's still a sister in faith of mine. But I told her I completely disagree. I said, you try to tell me that the Holy Ghost still doesn't work that way? And he's not going to work that way if that's your belief and you don't utilize him. He's not going to work that way. But I'm reminded one way that we can grow our faith in the Lord. Psalms 23, when you were reading earlier of the program, verse 4, where it talks about thy rod and thy staff. So the shepherds back in the day, they used to mark their staff every time the Lord made a way out of no way. And because the verse says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Y'all better hear me. So my challenge to you, because the Lord just did some things for me and my husband this week, and I told him, I said, I'm going to make us a rod, quote unquote. And the way I'm doing it is, I like to make stuff cute. I'm a woman. And I'm going to type it up. And I said, I'm going to frame it because we got to remember. Because, we're like the Israelites in many ways where we forget what the Lord has brought us out of. But I want to remember what the Lord did. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because I know that I'm going to walk through some more valleys in this life. And I'm going to look at my rod, whatever that thing is. Write it down. Put it somewhere so you can remind yourself, whoa, God did it before. Like Ty Tribbett said, if he did it before, he can do it again. Mm-hmm. He really can. And I'll read the whole verse. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. So the shepherds will look at their staff, y'all. You got to look at something. You better write it down so you can look at it, so you can be comforted. Because we don't want to forget. I told my husband, I don't want to forget what the Lord just did, because I was faithless just days prior to what he just did for my family. Mm-hmm. And I was crying. I said, Lord, I am so unworthy of this. I was faithless. Then he reminded me, 2 Timothy, baby girl. That's how you talk to me. I'm his baby. I am faithful even when you're faithless.
That's right.
So allow that to comfort you when the Lord makes a way. Don't forget, brothers and sisters. Don't forget the Holy Ghost. He's powerful.
That's right.
The faith of a believer. This is how we live.
And one more reason why we just need to stay in the Word of God is because the Word is our most powerful weapon. And amongst other things, it's our source of power and it's our source of joy. And, I think of in Philippians chapter 4, the joy letter that Paul wrote while he was in jail. He says in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, that's a command. He commands us to live a lifestyle of rejoicing. Now, why is that important? Well, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So too often, I think we think of joy as a nice benefit, you know, when you want to stir it up. But in reality, Paul is saying, telling us to rejoice continually. You know, in fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always.
Yes.
Pray without ceasing. Yes. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? If you stir up your joy continually, your source of strength is there continually.
Come on.
We need that strength.
Pastor Parker!
We need that strength. And
yes,
so
sir.
We should encourage each other to rejoice continually, and we should make it a goal to live, even if it's quietly as you go throughout your day under your breath, rejoicing in God always, because it allows the hand of God to come forward to move in every circumstance. Every circumstance.
The best way to rejoice too, maybe right now you're hearing this and you're going through a really hard valley and you're like, I can't, it's just hard. It's hard. Think about how you should be in hell right now, but Christ saved you and brought you to salvation. The reason why I was reading in Revelation and it was talking about the wrath of God. Y'all, we forget about that wrath. When we are in Christ, that is something to rejoice about. When we are in Christ, we don't have to deal with the wrath of God that is coming to this world, my Lord. So that's something to rejoice about right there.
That's true.
When I ponder over it, like somebody said this to me, sometime they allow the weight of their sin, because you got to keep in mind it was our sins that took Christ on that cross. They allow that weight to ponder over them. Like when they think about all the things they've done, but how Christ has forgiven them, like that's something to rejoice about.
That's true.
So think on those things.
Well, our time is just about completely gone here, though. But, you know, I think of this. The word tells us the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
And also, you know, I think of this, too. I'm going to say this before we do our salvation prayer.
Oh.
You know, the fact is, God in his grace did a work of grace in the state of Mississippi when he gave us a new flag, and he had them put "In God We Trust" on it. And that was the hand of God that brought. Why? Because we need to be reminded that in God, that's where we need to put all of our trust.
Right
now, if there's someone listening who you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to take that step today, because the fact is you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to know how to live by faith and in order to live a life pleasing to God. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. I invite you to pray this prayer with me if you would, or pray it as a rededication prayer with me if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share some spiritual encouragement material with you, and we look forward to being in touch with you. Thanks for joining us. Victory, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I needed this. This was good.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you
for being a part of our listening family. And be mindful that God's word lets us know from Genesis to Revelation, the just shall live by faith. Remember, reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day will build your faith and strengthen you all kind of ways. Hope you'll start that habit today if you don't already have it. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.